What's up, guys? Welcome to today's podcast. So feels good to be back on here live with all of you. I can see you guys all in the chat logging on. So I'm excited to see your questions today. I got a special guest, Candy Shaw, on. I've known Candy for a long time, successful salon owner, business owner, product line owner. So we're going to talk to her about everything that's going on in this crisis, in this time. This podcast is brought to you by my friends at MinervaBeauty.com. They reached out to me a couple weeks ago when this all started, and they said, Matt, you know, we want to do anything we can to become, like, just to help give a voice to the industry and bring all of our friends on. So, you know, we've had Sam Villa and April, the accountant that had so much good information. We've got Candy Shaw on now, Robert Cromings on last Friday. So if you guys are looking for something interesting to listen to at this time, check out those past episodes. Thank you to Minerva Beauty if you're looking for some good deals on salon furniture. You want to revamp things in this moment. Go to MinervaBeauty.com/FSE and they will hook you up. So Candy.
Hi, Matt.
Welcome. Yep. Thanks for joining me. So we've been chatting for the last 20 minutes really on here waiting to go live. So I think we got a good show for everyone. So let's just get started. I want people to obviously, if they don't know you, they should know you. But if they don't, give them kind of your background a little bit through the industry. Just a 1 minute summary of everything that you've accomplished in in your career.
Well, very easy. I can tell you very simply, I'm going to celebrate 40 years as a hairdresser this year. I'm a mother. I'm an owner of a 50-chair salon. I'm an educator. I'm the creator and founder of Sunlight's Balayage. And I, too, am just a hairdresser, like all of your listeners out there who are looking for answers in this pandemic.
Yeah, for sure. So the first things that we want to get into is you put out a public service announcement. You were kind of telling me about it. Just what hairdressers can say to their clients at this time. I really want to get into that because I feel like one of the biggest fears right now, and we really need to calm it down, is that people are so freaked out that their clients are going to do things to their hair or whatever. I want to get your point of view on it and what you think people, stylists, should be saying to their customers.
Well, as you alluded to, I did put out a public service announcement literally just to try to help my fellow hairdresser out there have a voice. I think so many are confused as to what to say. Of course, there's a lot of different messages going on, whether or not you're coloring your hair at home or not coloring your hair at home. We put out a campaign for Show Your Roots and to wait for your stylist. But I think what my message really was about was more importantly how your guests need to know how hard you're working on your craft right now. Like the education that we're doing at home, all the unbelievable podcasts such as yours and webinars and meetings and things like that that are out there. And I just really wanted to be a voice to the client and say, you know, wait for us, be patient. This is a tough, tough time. You know, we are creative people and most of us didn't go into business, because we were business people. We went into business because we were creative. And so, they just have to kind of be patient right now. And the public service announcement was well received. And, it certainly has, made us all feel a little more comfortable that we're in this thing together.
Yeah, I'm hoping that you don't mind if I'm saying this, but you were saying one of your number one things you're selling right now is mannequin heads, which I thought was like awesome because it shows that this industry is stepping up and deciding to focus this time. That was kind of my biggest message when this whole thing started was this is a time that we don't have time in the salon to really focus on our craft and get better at what we do. So taking this time, taking this break, and just really studying all of the different things. I think that's such a good point to put out there.
Yeah, and I want your listeners to know that I opened up my education to everybody, you know, for nothing. The choice I made right off the bat was this is not going to be about me trying to make a buck on people out there who are suffering right now. It was really more about, you know, helping my fellow student and the hairdresser out there who needs an outlet, you know, right. and yeah, we need education, but we also need to be creative. We need, you know, there's going to be some big mental health issues that go along with not being able to be yourself every day. And I felt like, you know, education is just going to keep people grounded. And yeah. I'm really, my hat's off to everybody who's out there that's trying to give that, give their gifts to others.
Yeah. I think that that's such a good point. And when I think about the days that I get the most stressed out, I think, for me, it's always been grabbing a mannequin and cutting hair. Like I think that's why I do it. Why I did it in the first place was, you know, just grab a mannequin, maybe film it, but there's no stress involved. You don't have to, you know, think about the opinion of that person. You can really work on the things that actually you want to work on. Nobody's dictating the situation. So I think that that's so cool that, that is, you know, a product that's selling so well. And I think that, when people start to educate themselves, it'll take the stress away because you'll have something to look forward to coming up when you learn new things constantly. Let's see.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking when you were asking me to go on, I was thinking like, what could I say? And I just think there's been a lot of stages of discovery. I have some notes over here just so I don't forget anything that I say. I think at first we kind of went through shock, right?
Yeah.
When all this happened, we just were like shocked. Oh my gosh, what's going on? And then it was like desperation. You know, what do we do next? And then we started to go through evaluation of our businesses and how we were going to protect our businesses. And now we are taking action by going through education and doing things like we need to take action. We need to come up with some plans to ramp back up and to get our salons open again and get back to work. So through action now comes recovery, you know, and now that's the stage we're in. We're in the stage of recovery. And I feel like, you know, we have a choice. We can either freeze, we can flee, or we can fight. And right now we're all in the fight of our lives.
So let's talk about that fight. So you, you are a salon owner, business owner. Let's talk about the salon first, right? So you have an unbelievable amount of chairs. 50 chairs is a lot. And my hat is off to you, even though I'm not wearing one, because it's like, that's, I can't even, how do you sleep? I have no idea. But let's talk about that. So you have 50, obviously at least 50 people you're responsible for, in that part of it, just in the salon. So let's talk about what you're doing right now. What do you recommend for salons to do right now?
Well, I know that as I speak to you today, I am, of course, a salon owner of 50 chairs, but I want to speak also to the person with one or two or three or five chairs, because really, in all actuality, this is going to affect us all. You know, my mother used to always say to me, you know, it's just another zero, whether you're worried about $1,000 or, you know, for me, it's 10,000, for somebody else, it's 100,000 and so on. So I hope to your listeners today that they really get the message that all these things that we're in is not just big salon owners out there making these decisions. It's all the little facets that we're putting together as the piece of the puzzle. So obviously the very first thing that I went into is with action is I'm lucky I'm married to my husband who is an attorney. So we of course put all the things in place, you know, that you know about out there with as it relates to the SBA loans, the PPP and everything in between. And everybody just really tried to grasp and save their businesses in that moment. Yeah. Right now, you know, what I'm asking my staff to do is A, you know, get into their education. We're, of course, going through massive ramp ups of sanitation, just like everybody else, trying to make decisions on whether or not we're going to come back to work wearing, you know, potentially some cute hospital scrubs so that we know that our fabrics are better than, you know, blue jeans that might be transmitting disease or virus, whether or not we're going to be using disposable smocks, whether we're using disposable towels. You know, I'm even asking people to, and you'll get a charge out of this, to start practicing cutting hair with gloves on. You know, yeah, I mean, no, I the agree. Reality is We may have to start cutting hair with gloves on at least. Yeah. And I like to try to use the analogy of like a golf game. You know, like if you're a really good golfer, you know, you got a short game and you got a long game. And I think right now we're all working on our short game. You know, we need to be ramping up for the next 4 weeks, meaning 4 weeks from the time we get the go ahead to open with a short game in plan. Then I think once we get those first 4 weeks under our belt, we'll know more about what the long term or our long game will look like.
Yeah. I think that's such a good, that's a great point because, like somebody asked on Friday in the podcast, they said, you know, is this something that if we make these changes and then all of a sudden there's a cure for this, or a vaccination or something, do we then still do those measures or do we change it? What is your thought on that? Do you think it's going to change?
I think it's going to change definitely to a certain degree. But I will say, you know, unfortunately, vanity, a lot of women take vanity over safety. And we found that out in this process of women wanting some drive-by haircuts, kitchen beauticians, and so on. Right. So we realize that sometimes that vanity is a little more important, and that's kind of saddening in a lot of ways. And certainly from a licensing standpoint, I don't want to do that. I mean, and we work so hard to continue to stay licensed and to attract people to beauty school and to want to get into this amazing career. You know, I don't want to dumb it down just for a quick buck on the side, because the reality is, you know, it's dangerous and it's illegal. Yeah. But I think that, you know, I think as we're looking long term, sure, will things change? 100%. I think the way we just do business in general, a lot will change. I'll give you a couple for instances. Like my business has been cashless for a long time. We don't take any cash, and you know, cash is dirty, right? So that's something that we're, you know, I would encourage people to really look at long term. Like if that's something that, you know, they could change about their business, you know, long term. I think, you know, waiting rooms might be a thing of the past, right? You know, people who have salons and these big waiting rooms that are sitting there waiting all together and sitting around together. That may be a thing of the past. You know, it may be like doctors who say, wait in your car, we'll text you when you can come in. You know, who knows? I mean, those things might be something that may kind of be different. I think big picture, competition's going to be different than it ever was before. And when you think about it, like one of the things that I have really leaned in on more than anything right now are my competitors who are my friends in my city. I mean, we're on the phone. I'm on the phone with two of them this morning. You know, we're all talking about how we're going to hold hands, basically, but not really, in this together, you know, and how we're going to share ideas more than we've ever shared before, because there's no such thing as a trade secret anymore.
Right.
And, you know, it's going to change that.
It is cool that the industry, like, I don't know, people need to start to realize that there's enough to go around for everybody. And some people are going to be more successful than others. Just like, you know, how stylists work in the salon. There's always that stylist that's more successful than some other ones. You know, but I think there's enough for everybody in their time. So I think getting together with a local salon or just getting involved in the forums, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, there's so much stuff online. The same thing that Candy's saying, like you could do that and get together with people. So so that's great advice for the salon. Let's talk about the other side of your business. So from a balayage standpoint and all of that, and you've got the wet line now too, right? What's that process like? What's happening for you there?
Well, fortunately, my warehouse is open right now because, you know, we're still shipping and doing, obviously, just shipping out shampoos to customers. One of the things I ramped up immediately is I did a retail incentive for my salon to give 40% back of all resale sales to my people, like a slush fund. So basically, right off the bat, I went in and started selling every product that we have, you know, for full price, but then took 40% right off the top and put it into a slush fund for my people just to try to support, to support us, because everybody keeps talking about all these finances and disaster relief and SBA loans and PPP, but nobody's seen any dollars in the bank yet. You know, right. I mean, a few things in a few places. We're all looking for these, $1,200 checks that are, we're all wondering where they are. So I'm just trying to keep people floating, you know, and keep people from having to not pay their rents and things like that. You know, I want to talk to your listeners about, I've seen a lot of hate on social media about, oh, well, I'm not paying my rent. You know, they forced me to close. They forced me to do this. They forced me to do that. I'm not going to take care of business. And I want to encourage people that, you know, you took on ownership. You know, when you wanted to be independent or own a salon or whatever, you took on ownership and you've got to find a way to pay. And that's something that's just, we're working really hard on right now. And so with Sunlights, you know, obviously we're still shipping and doing, but at the end of the day, I mean, we're not, you know, there's no customer out there doing a lot of hair. Of course, balayage is fortunately very natural and grows out beautifully, but where we're finding, like I said, the uptick was in, is in education tools. Lots of tools, lots of obviously mannequin heads, as I alluded to earlier, and ways to practice at home and get better.
For sure. And so do you have, like with your education, where do people find your education online?
Sunlightsbalayage.com is where my website is, but Vimeo is where I have the all of my, I guess, online DVDs and education, and they can just put the code in Sunshine and they can get all the free education that they want.
Very cool. And then, we got a question. Amy, is asking, she said she just got her stimulus check pending, but no PPP or SBA disaster relief. I don't think, and just to comfort her, I guess, we were talking before this. We just got a thing last night just saying that we didn't sign a certain thing, so we have to resubmit. You were saying that you haven't seen anything quite yet, right? So I only know of one person that's received anything from the PPP. Everybody else is still waiting. So, are you in the same boat on that?
Yeah. I mean, we've gotten some disaster relief through, our DOL, Department of Labor's, throughout everybody's city. It's all different, but we have not received any funds at this time. No.
Okay, cool. And then Kelly was saying, I don't know if you got in as in detail, you can get in detail or not, but she said, how is Candy helping her stylist in this situation? Maybe as a generic thing for other salons, and I can even talk about what we've done so far here, but what are you doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, the most thing that I'm trying to do is just mentally stay strong for them, you know, and lead by example. I've not left my home. I've stayed at home. I've sheltered in place. I've followed all of those guidelines. But obviously, I'm helping them just by having Zoom meetings, reaching out on Facebook Live, doing whatever I can do. But I have a huge community. My community is not just my hairdresser that works for me. It's also, I have 120 educators across the globe that educate on behalf of my brand that I'm also trying to take care of, and had to cancel an event that was going to train the next set of 35 trainers coming through the pipeline in March. So really, I have spent most of my days, a lot of times people keep asking me, well, are you going to do some online education? And the answer is, yeah, it's just my online education has changed a bit. I'm now becoming a coach and a mentor, and I'm trying to help salon owners, not lose their businesses right now and give them advice. So what am I doing for my own people? I'm trying to make sure that my ship doesn't sink, just like everyone else out there.
Yeah.
But I'm also applying for anything and everything I can to get money in their pocket as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Ramping back up is what my main focus is right now. How are we going to ramp back up? What are the things that we're going to do? And we're just in discussion of how we're going to do that. For instance, I've asked every one of my staff members, including all support staff, to take the Barbicide certification to learn more about sanitation, so that we can bring that to the forefront. I've looked into, for instance, I'm a big salon, and I know you have a lot of small salons out there too, but I've looked into my landlord in looking at taking unused space in my strip center that's vacant to create pop-up salons so that we can divide and conquer the density rate of my salon guests. You know, we might be creating a process place or a quote unquote waiting room or a place where people go so that we can change the density rates based on that as well. We're talking about different kinds of haircuts now. You know, I know you'll love this because you're such a mad haircut, sick haircutter. You know, we're talking about, you know, not blow drying hair that's past the shoulders, you know, and telling people to come with clean hair. And maybe if you're going to do a dry cut, instructing people to come with their hair already dried and ready to go so that we can cut down on timing.
Yeah.
So we're more efficient. We're having hard conversations about, you know, who we're going to take first. I mean, think about it for a
minute.
That's a big conversation. Yeah, it is. It's a huge conversation. Like when you think about it for a minute, we're watching medical professionals have to make choices between giving ventilators to one versus another, right? I know that sounds, you know, might be a little kind of not a true analogy, but I think we're going to have to look at our businesses. Like, who are we going to take first? I mean, at first, Matt, when we all closed, we thought we were going to pick up 2 or 3 weeks and just pick them up and set them down on the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
But now we are, you know, 5 weeks into this and with no end in sight. And so now we're going to have to make hard decisions based on salon ownership of thinking like who is going to bring the most revenue back to our bottom line. So you might be out there considering which guests are going to go first. For instance, you know, the dollar of a man's haircut versus a child's haircut is not as good as the dollar from a balayage or a dollar from a color service.
Yeah.
And we're all in survival mode right now. So we're trying to make decisions based on that as well.
Right. And, okay. I got another question for you. And I think this is a pretty easy answer, but do you know if you have to have a tax ID number to get the PPP since you're a business owner and a lawyer in the family. What do you think on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the reason, I mean, it's the PPP loan for those of you that don't know out there, it's a paycheck protection program, right? So it's for giving
your staff money
and paying taxes and paying rent and paying health insurance and those things. It's not really money for, if you don't have a tax ID, you wouldn't even need it, I don't think, at that point. I mean, you would do something different.
You talk about what's going to change. And I mean, come on, you know, you got to find some humor out there a little. I mean, because if you don't, you're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
But I bet there's a lot of people out there that wish to heck they had not lied on their tip reporting at this point.
True. And that's where
That's going to change, I think, a lot.
I think the industry is going to really make a shift. I hope it does in the fact that just becoming a little more legitimate in the fact that claiming the money that you bring in and I understand that a lot of people will be like freaking out and I'm sure that, but when you need to apply for things or you want to buy a house or you want to do all these things, like you need to show all the money that you're making and it can really hurt you if you're not. So, this is a good time to reflect on that as well. The one thing I'm glad I didn't do at this point was throw a bunch of money into investments, which I hadn't done. So that I'm thankful for. But other than that, you know, there's a lot of things I want to change, you know, moving forward in that respect.
If I might piggyback on that to give you sort of a perfect, for instance, when we were going through the depression or the economic downturn, it's not the depression, but, you know, when we had our huge economic crisis, my own husband, who, again, works for my company, runs the company, you know, and I were skipping paychecks, you know, to try to keep afloat. You know, we would not pay ourselves. I was behind the chair, you know, cranking out these huge $8,000-$10,000 weeks and I was not taking a paycheck because I was just trying to float the note. And my accountant had a strong, hard talking to with me on that. And he said, you know, look, you got to be careful not paying yourself, because eventually you're going to retire and eventually you're going to want to collect Social Security and to do these things or buy a house or get a loan or whatever. I mean, I know it sounds crazy to think that you almost have to be in debt to get more money, you know? But the reality is that, you know, he told us, you know, you should at least pay yourself something, because eventually that all comes back to haunt you in the end.
Yeah. That's a good call. Leslie wants to know, so actually I'll just ask you, how much are your mannequins? If somebody wants to buy one on your site,
$23.
Wait, what?
You want me to send you a couple dozen?
Yeah, please. Wait, how it's $29, $28, $29. What did you say? $23. How did, you're not making money on these.
No, I'm helping my community, you know.
that's the truth. I can buy people need to know that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm helping my community. I mean, I'm lucky enough to be able to buy things in bulk because I'm an educator and I'm on the road every single weekend in a classroom blowing through mannequin heads like most people blow through toilet paper right now, obviously. Yeah. But nonetheless, you know, I wanted to buy a mannequin that had a good value to it. Obviously, it's not human hair, the finest of the finest, but it's what you need to practice, cut, color, you know, drying, all those things on. And for me, because I was able to get, I have a warehouse full because I use them so much and we go through them so much, as you know, because you are the same.
Yeah.
When all this happened, I thought, wait a minute, you know, the one thing I got to do is reach out to my fellow hairdresser out there and give them something that they can afford right now. I mean, you know, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered, you know? I don't want to be a hog. I don't want to get out there and just be like, oh, I'm going to take advantage of people who are worried about where their next meal is going to come from. Right. But I really also want to go out and help the people in my community, you know, so, maybe get better so they'll know what to do more behind the chair.
So is that the normal price of the mannequin or is that a special price right now?
It's a special price right now.
Okay, cool. So buy them now. With that being, because I just bought 15 mannequins and they were $60-some a piece. So to make videos with. So that's so get them now and you. There's no excuses not to practice with the mannequin that cheap. All right, and I think Anthony said she's taking great care of us. So. He must work with you.
Oh. Well, thanks, Anthony.
And that does answer that question. Who has the cheapest mannequins? Candy Shaw does right now. relief money for independent contractors. Do you know anything about that? Because you have so many educators, or is that?
I have been, you know, the majority of what I've been seeing is that there are some independent contractors out there that do qualify for PPP. Just depends on where they are and what they have been doing. I think the thing that we all have to realize right now is that there's so much information out there. It's like it's information overload. I'm sure you feel the same way, Matt. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I watch this webinar, this thing. I think you have to find out what your state's doing. Call your banker, call your accountant, call your attorney, you know, call the people, dip into the well of resources that you have. You know, that's the big thing. You know, you've got to create relationships. Hairdressers are the best at creating relationships. I certainly hope that if anybody is out there struggling right now, that they just try to start asking questions, you know, pick up the phone, lean into people who you know in your hair community that are close to you, because as you know, it's changing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
We were applying for our PPP and right as we were about to finish it off, they changed a whole caveat to it and we had to redo it, you know? You know, so I would love to answer that question for the independent out there, but I think it's really case by case and state by state and basically what you've been doing as an owner out there, whether you've been paying things above the board or taking things under the table, you know, and that's the hard reality right now, but it's the truth.
Yep, for sure. And then Trisha's saying, as I cancel clients, I put their name on a list and tell them that they will be rebooked as they are listed. Now, I want to get your, because I would do that a little bit different, because we need to look at priority of clients. And like you were kind of talking about it, but I want to go a little more in depth with the rebooking process of clients, because we're going to have to make a priority list of people that are definite three-weekers with roots like that and people that are balayage. That's just going to be a different, in my mind, I see it differently like that. What do you think on that?
Well, I think that, first of all, in all of this, the very first thing that I made a determination is that I was not going to judge what others were doing. So I want to say that to your listeners now. This is not Candy Shaw with all the answers. This is just my opinion. Opinions are like asses. Everybody's got one, right? Some bigger than others. But the point is that I have to disagree with that process. And the reason is because it's called supply and demand. I mean, you know, yeah, I understand that the lady that got canceled on March 20th is dying to come in. It wouldn't be fair if you opened up on March 14th to start doing March 14th's guests. We understand that. The lady in March has waited longer. So everyone's going to have to suffer in this. But I think you've also got to look at, you know, everybody's talking about extending hours, maybe in my case, station shifting, you know, those types of things. But I really think you've also got to pad the top of your business right away. I think you've got to look at who your most loyal guests have been, the people who do the most referrals to your salon. I know I have one stylist who, of course, was booked through June. And, you know, we even thought about doing a lottery for her. Upon further reflection, I think I'm going to let her just vote with her heart, you know, and just try to do this based on what is best for her and her business, because she knows her people. And so I don't think you can just, you know, again, pick up one, move it to here. I think you'll have a major traffic jam.
Yeah.
But I do think that you can change your hours in your salon and do things like, for instance, if we're going to be open late at night, that's when I want to have men in my salon. So it's safer. You know, when people are out of work, crime gets an uptick and things start happening and crazy stuff starts to take place. So maybe if you're opening your business at 6 a.m. and, you know, maybe from 6 to 7:30, you just do men's cuts so that you can feel safe in your business. And then maybe at night you do men's cuts from 7:30 to 9:30 or whatever your timeline's going to be. I certainly, no offense to my men out there, but I'm not going to go worrying about them mucking up the day when I've got a lady with, you know, 4 inches of regrowth who, is in a type of line of work where she needs to get back on board with her beauty. So I definitely agree. We all have to kind of look at our businesses objectively like that. And the, like I said, we got to get a short game and plan first. And once we get past that first initial it's terrible to say the word outbreak, but once we break out of this, I think that once we get through that first 2, 3, 4 weeks, then we'll be up and running and we can make better choices.
I like it. That's perfect. So there's a guy on here that says, nothing has changed for me. I'm still an unpaid internship, have been for 10 plus years. That's your son. He wrote that.
Of course it is.
Let's see. Okay. I think most of it looks pretty good. I think we've covered it. People are freaking out about the $23 mannequins. Let's see.
Everybody's let's talk about, let's talk about some things that maybe, from your girl who was talking about, booking appointments. How about if you think differently? Also, if I take it another step further, how about if we think about our businesses, like, for instance, are we going to do a lot more wet cutting, right? Maybe just let somebody leave wet, right? Maybe they come already clean. One thing that we're talking about doing in my own salon is having a no corona zone. Like once we ramp back up, we don't want to be talking about the coronavirus every day, 24/7. So we're creating a no corona zone where we literally try to change the subject and talk about other things and moving forward. You know, no one ever had a future living in the past, right? So we've got to go past that. I think it's important that salon owners, whether you're one or you're 100, that you start getting a positive attitude about that and spreading hope instead of fear and creating a fearless environment.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like I said before, limiting, you know, maybe blow drying and things like that. The other thing that we were talking about doing that I think might be really good for your person who asked the questions about booking, we are going to try to figure out what services each guest is going to have done. You know, Matt, you said what's going to change about our industry. I mean, it used to be that all we focused on was upsell, right? Someone got in the chair and we were trying to upsell everything, upgrade, upsell. Well, now we're going to be doing pre-selling, meaning I'm taking your money before you walk in the door. You know, I'm going to go ahead and take that 10 or 15 minutes out of your transaction so that I have more time to do hair. You're doing business at home, right?
A lot of people are saying that the front desk is going to change. How do you feel it's going to change in that aspect of it from a client paying, all booking, all that stuff?
Well, absolutely. We've been very blessed to be able to keep a very small skeleton crew at our desk, manning our phones every single day and calling. Because as you remember, we closed down thinking it would be 2 weeks. So we were just trying to keep the ripple effect not to turn into a tsunami like it is now, right? So we were just trying to keep the waters from overflowing too bad. So we've been very blessed to have someone there. You know, manning those phones, but absolutely we're now portable in how we can collect from guests, you know, all through iPads and, you know, being able to walk around stationary. Listen, think about it for a minute. If originally they said nobody under, you know, no groups over 500, then it was 100, then it was 25, 250, you know, whatever you want to call it. There were all these different levels of, oh, now we're going to be down to 10. You know, it's just changing the course of how we're going to have to look at business and front desk staff as well. You know, maybe they might be, I'm sure you remember the days of call centers and things like that. That was a big uptick back in the 80s. You know, a lot of people had call centers and they were eliminating front desk coordinators. So that's going to change. Collecting money ahead of time, doing retail sales ahead of time, creating retail kits and bundles ahead of time and letting people know, like, you know, home survival hair care kits to get your hair back from this pandemic. So without question, you know, the pre-booking aspect, I mean, think about it. I mean, we focused the entire beginning of the years 2000 on everything having to be a pre-book, right?
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, everybody wants to pre-book for the rest of the year, you know?
Right.
No one wants to lose an appointment.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to have a problem. Like, we're not going to have a problem pre-booking anymore, right?
Yeah. No. Nope.
So that's going to change. Online booking, you know, online sales, all those things, you know, a lot is going to be going remote now. A lot.
And do you feel, so you have so many chairs in your business, and I know you have a bigger business building, but your chairs are pretty close together, I would assume, if you have that many. Is that something you're going to have to switch around, do you think? Do you think we'll have to do that? What are you thinking
on that? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we did it when we were ramping down. You know, we were letting people work different types of shifts so that we could ramp down and keep the 6 foot distancing. But let's be honest about 6 foot distancing. Yeah. I mean, come on, let's talk about the 600 pound gorilla in the room.
Right.
You know, makeup artists, massage therapists, hairdressers, we've all been, you know, told we're non-essential. And I certainly understand the reasons because of that. However, the 6 foot distancing aspect is near impossible. You know, And so, of course, we're spreading things out. And of course, like I said before, you know, we're talking about wonderful ways. I have a warehouse where I do all my educational events, where we can have a pop-up salon, or our salon at JSH. We have a way to divide it down the middle with a wall and create two salons within one salon. We're also looking into our landlord to have pop-up businesses. I mean, I've been talking to Minerva, my friends at Minerva. Jeff has been amazing out there, you know, talking about pop-up shampoo bowls, just like when we do hair shows. You know, we have different issues. However, so does the independent, because they have buildings to come into. I mean, everybody's got the same issues. I mean, there are no, you know, the silver lining is all in all this is I hope that this will bridge the gap between us against you, you against us. It's not like that anymore. It's hairdresser for hairdresser right now, more than ever before. We all have to support each other. You know, we all have to try to give good advice as to how we're going to do this, whether you're in one chair, two chairs, or 50 like me.
Yep. Well, well said, Candy. I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot else we could even discuss, but I want to say thank you so much for being a part of the podcast and just, you know, coming on here. It's been a long time since I got to sit down and interview you and just kind of get your thoughts out on the internet. So is there anything, any last words you want to say? And also, do you, how can people follow you, get in touch with Sunlight's Balayage and everything? And the mannequins, people are like, I want to order them. So you can let them know that as well.
Yeah. Well, sunlightsbalayage.com. You can follow me on at the Bali Lama, of course, which is my handle on Instagram, Facebook. I'm doing a lot of lives. There's a lot of wonderful forums out there. Of course, our YouTube channel. I am always reachable. You can DM me if you have questions. Candy@sunlightsbalayage.com is my email address. If you have any questions, I'm happy to help you. Maybe I can, maybe you can help me. But I think my last message to your listeners is just, you know, stay united, stay strong, keep away from the hate. You know, nobody needs a blame game right now. What we all need to do is just stand tall, stand united. You know, we're all in this together, and hopefully this is going to pass and come to an end. And the sooner the better. None of us know when that's going to be, but you better be prepared when it does come.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you again. Thank you to your family. He was very active on the chat. It was very fun to watch. And yeah, good luck with everything. And we'll definitely have to do this as soon as this is over. Let's do this again and talk about other stuff too. And what you're doing then, we'll keep up to date with everything. Yeah, that'd be great.
And Matt, listen, you've always been amazing, and you've always shared so much incredible information. And I want to thank you for that. You know, my hat's off to you for all that you've done in this process. I've watched you grow from one room and one little camera and one tiny little microphone on your phone all the way to a big studio. I'm really proud to know you, my friend. You've done great things.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon. I really appreciate that.
You're
all right,
welcome.
Guys.
Take care.
All right, Candy. We'll see you.
Uh-huh.
All
bye
right,
bye.
Guys. Let's see. There it is. Well, guys, there's another episode. What'd you think? Hope you liked it. Candy's awesome. It was great. Like I said, catching up with her and just learning more about this industry, guys. We got to realize that this is temporary, and you know, it's not easy for any of us. We're obviously, me and my wife, we're at home trying to figure this out just like you guys are, and all of that. So I appreciate you guys being on here, being a part of the chat, just being a part of the free salon education community. Thank you to MinervaBeauty.com for always supporting everything that we do here at Free Salon Education and really putting this series together to bring these great minds in and talk about what's going on. Because guys, it doesn't matter whether you're an owner of a giant salon or you're a studio stylist. We're all literally, we're going through the same issues, the same problems. So just hang in there, apply for the things that you can apply for. Check out the PBA's website. I actually have them coming on the show on Thursday. I believe it's Thursday. So I'll be live with them just to talk about the options for a stylist. But go to their website. They have it all organized and put out there. And also, the last thing I want to say is that the FSE Now app is available. So go download it. It's education. It's community. I get to see you guys share your work. We're building a lot of really cool things on there, and I'd love to see you on there. So go to FSE now or freesaloneducation.com. You can download the app right from there on Apple and Android. Become a part of the community. Thank you guys so much, and I'll see you soon. See you soon.